Take a deep breath, just a normal everyday breath.
Okay.
Now look around the room you're sitting in, the air you just pulled into your lungs, the air you're breathing right now while listening to this deep dive is almost certainly an entirely unregulated frontier.
Which is, frankly, a little terrifying to think about.
Right. I mean, you sent us this fascinating stack of research today about pollution, and looking through your notes, there was this one statistic that just, it immediately reframed how I think about environmental risk.
The 90% stat.
Yes. Humans spend up to 90% of their time indoors.
Yeah. And when you actually sit down and do the math on that 90%,
yeah.
I mean, it works out to more than 21 hours a day.
21 hours. Wow.
Right. And you know, we always picture pollution as this smog hanging heavily over a city's skyline or, like, exhaust pipes in bumper-to-bumper traffic.
Yeah, the visible stuff.
Exactly. Because outdoor air is highly visible. It is heavily monitored. We have all these municipal alerts, you know, warning us when we shouldn't go for a run outside.
Like those red air quality days on the weather app.
Right. But the vast majority of the oxygen actually fueling your brain and your body is indoor air.
Yet while we worry incessantly about that outdoor smog, the air inside your own living room or the office where you sit for 8 hours a day.
Or the schools where your kids spend their whole week.
Exactly. That air is essentially the Wild West. And that brings us to the core mission of today's deep dive.
It's a big one.
It really is. We are unpacking a February 2026 press release you flagged for us, announcing what looks like a major, potentially world-changing collaboration.
We're looking at a joint initiative from ENDEX, along with its public outreach arm, the Indoor Health Council, which is a 501c3 nonprofit, by the way, and an organization called Global Open Air Quality Standards.
Right.
Okay, let's unpack this, because diving into this initiative.
And their shared goal is to solve this massive global health blind spot by harmonizing how we actually measure and, you know, communicate about the air we breathe indoors.
And to understand why this alliance had to be formed outside of state regulators, we kind of have to look at the friction in the current system.
The absolute mess of it, you mean?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the fundamental problem identified right at the top of the sources is the complete lack of a single global standard for indoor air quality.
IAQ.
Right, IAQ.
Hmm.
The legal frameworks just vary wildly from country to country, and that's assuming a jurisdiction even has indoor air legislation on the books.
Which a lot don't.
Exactly. So in the absence of government oversight, this completely chaotic consumer market has just stepped in to fill the void.
Because anyone can go online right now and buy an indoor air monitor for their home or office, right?
You can buy dozens of them.
But reading through the white paper, the catch is just staggering. These consumer devices use entirely opaque proprietary scoring systems. They literally just make up their own math.
It's all hidden behind these corporate firewalls.
Imagine a scenario where our broader healthcare system functioned this way. Like, imagine if every single thermometer company used a different secret proprietary scale.
Oh, that would be a disaster.
Right. You buy a thermometer from company X, and it tells you your temperature is a level 7 blue. Then your neighbor buys one from company Y, and it says their temperature is pineapple.
Pineapple. Yeah.
And every single country has a totally different legal definition of what a fever even is. How could anyone, anywhere, know if they were actually sick?
They couldn't. I mean, the medical system would just collapse under the weight of conflicting data.
Exactly.
But that is the exact reality of the current IAQ market. Company A's monitor flashes, you know, a 95 out of 100, while company B's monitor in the exact same room reads moderate risk.
Sitting right next to each other on the desk.
Exactly. They're measuring completely different pollutants, using totally different thresholds, and aggressively hiding the algorithms they use to arrive at those conclusions.
Because they view their formula as some kind of protected trade secret.
Right, their intellectual property.
So if the market is flooded with these proprietary sensors, who actually has the authority to step in and force a standard? Because no single government can do it.
No, which is really the genius of this specific collaboration.
Let's look at the groups teaming up here. First, we have ENDEX and their Indoor Health Council, a 501c3 nonprofit.
Yes, and they're dedicated entirely to reducing indoor environmental exposures.
Okay, and they are partnering with GOAQS, which stands for the Global Open Air Quality Standard.
They've somehow already managed to unify over 160 industry professionals, researchers, and community representatives from 32 different countries.
Wow. Global Open Air Quality Standard. gathering that level of international consensus in such a short window, I mean, that really points to how desperate the building and health sectors are for a unified metric.
Oh, they're starving for it.
There is a quote in the press release from the founder of GOAQS, Sotirios, that really anchors this entire initiative for me.
It's a great quote.
He says, if we all share the same air, we deserve the same protection.
Yeah, it completely elevates air quality from just, like, a luxury corporate amenity to a fundamental human right.
And the mechanism they're using to deliver that right is it's called the Global Open Indoor Air Quality Standards.
It's a unified framework designed to just strip that proprietary black box math away.
To turn complex sensor data into actionable protection.
Exactly. And the architecture of that framework is where the building science gets really fascinating.
How so?
Well, they made a very deliberate structural choice. It is not a single monolithic rulebook. They designed a flexible two-tiered system.
Okay, I actually have to stop you there.
Oh, well.
Because when I first read about this two-tier approach in the materials you sent us, my immediate reaction was deep skepticism.
Really?
Why? Well, if we have 160 experts from 32 countries finally setting a global standard to protect human health, why are we giving anyone a secondary option?
I see what you mean.
Right. Like, doesn't a starter tier just give cheap landlords a massive loophole? They hit the bare minimum, slap an A grade on their building lobby, and completely ignore the complex chemical off-gassing happening upstairs.
That's a very fair concern.
Why not just demand the absolute highest standard everywhere immediately?
The pushback makes total logical sense until you factor in the real-world economics of building management.
Okay, walk me through that.
Think about demanding a gold standard hospital-grade monitoring system in, say, a rural public school or an independent coffee shop.
That would be expensive.
It's a guaranteed recipe for failure. The sensor arrays required to measure volatile organic compounds at a highly granular level. They cost thousands of dollars per room.
Wow. Per room.
Yes. Not to mention the monthly recalibration by specialized technicians. If you mandate that level of financial burden, the school board or the small business owner simply cannot comply.
They just don't have the budget.
Exactly. The regulation becomes an unfunded mandate, and so they default to doing absolutely nothing.
Ah, the perfect becoming the enemy of the good.
Precisely. Two tiers completely remove the financial excuse.
Okay, so let's break down that first tier.
Yeah, it's engineered specifically for widespread immediate adoption. It strips the monitoring down to just two core parameters, PM2.5 and CO2.
And focusing strictly on those two isn't just about cutting costs, is it?
No, not at all.
It's about what those two metrics actually represent mechanically within a building.
Exactly. They are the ultimate proxy indicators for a building's respiratory system.
Okay, give me an example.
Take CO2. When humans breathe in a confined space, we consume oxygen and exhale CO2.
Right.
So if the CO2 levels in a conference room are steadily climbing, it tells you the HVAC system is failing to exchange stale indoor air for fresh outdoor air.
It's just recirculating the same breath.
Yes. And if the CO2 is trapped in that room, it means all the other stuff, the invisible airborne viruses, the bioeffluents, the odors,
everything.
They are all trapped too. CO2 is essentially the canary in the coal mine for overall ventilation.
That makes a lot of sense. And then PM2.5 acts as the proxy for filtration, right?
Exactly.
Because these are the microscopic particles, the smoke, the dust, the allergens.
The really dangerous stuff.
Stuff that is so incredibly small, it bypasses the body's natural respiratory defenses, like nasal hairs and mucus.
Yeah, it embeds deep into the alveolar region of the lungs.
And the brilliance of the starter tier is that low-cost optical sensors can now measure both of those metrics highly accurately.
Exactly. You can use a device that essentially shoots a tiny laser inside a chamber to count particles crossing the beam. You don't need a massive laboratory budget.
So you can get the starter tier running in a building quickly, affordably, and establish a real baseline of safety.
Yep. It addresses the schools and the local businesses by lowering the barrier to entry.
But what about the corporate headquarters, the laboratories, the luxury high-rises? You know, the buildings that actually have the resources to properly monitor their environments?
Well, that unlocks the second tier.
Yeah.
GOAQS, Ultimate.
Ultimate.
Yeah, this is the highly protective, advanced framework. It retains PM2.5 and CO2, obviously.
But expands it.
Right. It expands the array to cover 7 critical pollutants total, adding ozone, carbon monoxide, formaldehyde.
Formaldehyde. That's a scary one.
Definitely. Plus NO2 and radon.
That is a deeply serious list of invisible threats. And this is where the building science really demands attention, because we aren't just talking about a little stuffiness here.
No, these have profound health impacts.
Let's look at how these pollutants physically manifest indoors. You mentioned formaldehyde.
Yeah.
Say you walk into a newly renovated office space. It has fresh paint, brand new wall-to-wall carpeting, and sleek new particle board desks.
Sounds nice, right?
Right. But those manufactured wood products and adhesives, they continuously off-gas formaldehyde into the air for months, sometimes years.
And NO2 behaves similarly, but mostly from combustion sources.
Like stoves.
Yeah. If that same office building has a commercial cafeteria with gas stoves, or even if the HVAC intake on the ground floor is pulling an exhaust from delivery trucks idling at the loading dock.
Oh, wow.
Nitrogen dioxide is just flooding the space.
And then you have radon, which is a radioactive gas produced by decaying uranium in the soil.
Which is completely natural but highly toxic.
Right. It seeps silently up through microcracks in a building's concrete foundation. It is literally a leading cause of lung cancer, and you cannot see it or smell it.
And the ultimate tier aligns the safety thresholds for all seven of these pollutants with the strictest global research available.
So the ecosystem functions beautifully. Starter gets you in the door and guarantees your basic ventilation and filtration are functioning.
Right.
And Ultimate provides the rigorous pathway to deeply researched, comprehensive health protection.
The science is finally unified. But, you know, compiling accurate data is really only half the battle.
How do you mean?
Well, if a building manager prints out a spreadsheet showing formaldehyde concentrations fluctuating at 40 parts per billion, the average occupant sitting in that room has absolutely no idea what to do with that information.
Right. I wouldn't know if 40 is good or terrible.
Exactly. If people need an advanced degree in environmental science just to read the monitor on the wall, the standard fails.
Which brings us to how they actually communicate this data.
And they take a really interesting approach here.
They completely abandoned the complex readouts. They essentially went back to elementary school.
Yeah, they did.
The new score mirrors an educational grading system using a simplified 10-0 scale, sorting your real-time air quality into three stark categories. A for good, B for moderate, and Z for unhealthy.
I have to say, the psychological friction of that lettering system is quite clever.
It really is. I spent a long time looking at the choice of the letter Z in your notes.
Because normally an academic scale walks down gradually, right? A, B, C, D, F.
Exactly. Dropping straight from a B to a Z is a brilliant behavioral trigger. Think about it. A C grade feels like, well, it's not great, but I'm technically still passing.
Yeah, you can live with a C.
Even an F feels a bit bureaucratic. But Z is the absolute end of the alphabet.
It's a cliff.
Yes. It unequivocally signals danger without any room for negotiation. When the monitor on the wall flashes a big glowing Z, it communicates one clear directive. The air is toxic. Open a window, or evacuate the room immediately.
And the UI design goes much deeper than just the lettering. The white paper highlights two major accessibility failures in the current market that this specific score fixes.
Right. The first one is visual accessibility, explicitly engineered to be colorblind friendly.
Which is a massive oversight in almost every public health alert system currently operating.
It really is. Most current environmental monitors rely on a green to red scale, right? Green means safe, red means danger.
Yeah, but the fatal flaw in that legacy design is that red-green color blindness is the most prevalent form of color vision deficiency.
So for a massive percentage of the population, a monitor shifting from safe to toxic looks completely uniform.
Exactly. It's unreadable. So it corrects this by utilizing a rigorously tested visual palette consisting of blue, orange, and red.
Shifting the good baseline to blue ensures that the distinction between safe, moderate, and dangerous is universally distinguishable.
It's a design choice so deeply logical. You wonder why it hasn't been the global standard for decades.
Truly. But the second innovation built in is the actual mechanical game changer for me.
The real-time aspect.
Yes. It provides real-time protection rather than relying on a 24-hour average.
Historically, a lot of environmental standards, especially the legacy outdoor indexes, function on this 24-hour rolling average.
Right.
The system aggregates all the sensor data from the entire day, smooths out the spikes, and gives you a single daily score.
But relying on a 24-hour average for the oxygen you are actively pulling into your lungs right now, that's absurd.
It doesn't make any sense.
I was thinking about it like you're driving down the highway, relying on a 24-hour average for air quality is like a highway patrol officer pulling you over and issuing a speeding ticket based on your average speed over the whole day.
That's a great analogy.
Right. The cop says, well, you were parked in your driveway for 12 hours overnight, so your average speed is only 4 miles per hour. You're free to go, even though you were doing 90 in a school zone.
And to take that speeding ticket analogy into the physiological reality of a building, by the time a 24-hour average finally alerts you that you are in the danger zone, the acute damage to your respiratory system or your cognitive function is already done.
Because it completely ignores the reality of how indoor air changes.
Exactly.
Like if someone burns popcorn in the office
Oh,
microwave,
we've all been there.
or if a classroom suddenly fills up with 30 kids returning from recess and the ventilation system is sluggish, the CO2 and PM2.5 levels are going to spike instantly.
The air becomes dangerous in that exact moment.
Right. You don't need a monitor to tell you that the daily average is acceptable. You need the monitor to tell you that the air in this specific room is a Z right now, so you can take immediate physical action.
Built around empowering the occupant.
Yeah.
If you see the score drop to a B or a Z in real time, you can trigger the HVAC, turn on a localized HEPA purifier, or just simply walk out of the room.
A 24-hour average tells you that you breathed toxic air yesterday.
But a real-time score actively prevents you from breathing it today.
Exactly. It takes these invisible threats we've been discussing, the off-gassing, the lack of ventilation, the particulate matter, and turns them into a visible, actionable UI.
It's brilliant.
So, looking at the entire scope of the materials you shared with us, how does this alliance actually plan to replace the fragmented proprietary mess we currently live in?
Well, they are doing it by aggressively undercutting the proprietary business model itself.
How so?
The full white paper, Global Open Indoor Air Quality Standards, a unified framework, has been released under a Creative Commons license.
Wait, really? They are giving away the gold standard for free.
Completely for free. By
Wild.
making it open source, are inviting the entire global supply chain. I mean, every sensor manufacturer, every commercial building manager, every independent school district,
To just adopt this framework without paying licensing fees.
or navigating those proprietary firewalls we talked about,
Yeah.
they are providing the blueprint for a shared environment of healthy air and challenging the market to innovate on top of it.
Rather than hiding behind secret algorithms.
Exactly.
It is a massive paradigm shift. It takes the power away from the black box consumer gadgets and hands it directly to the people actually breathing the air.
And it's going to change everything.
It really is. And it leaves me with a final thought for you to ponder as you go about your day.
Let's hear it.
The ultimate goal of this initiative is to make indoor air data clear, universal, and unavoidable. Think about how that level of transparency will alter our daily behavior.
It's going to be a huge adjustment.
Right now, you probably wouldn't think twice about looking for the health inspection letter grade in the window of a restaurant before deciding to eat there. If you see a C hanging in the window, you keep walking.
Nobody wants a C-grade sushi.
Exactly. Well, if the GoAQS framework succeeds and these real-time universal ABZ scores become standard public infrastructure, how long will it be before you refuse to enter a local coffee shop, your office building, or even a friend's house if their real-time indoor air score is flashing a red Z?
That's a profound question.
When the invisible 90% of our lives finally becomes visible, you won't be able to unsee it.